Today we have a word, hallelujah. It is titled, Uncommon Overflow, 12 Baskets of Evidence. Let's stand up as we read the Bible and then we share in the word. We are reading from the book of John or the Gospel of John, chapter 6, from verse 1, I'll read to verse 14. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. I want to say to somebody here who has come to this service and following online, God has in mind what he's going to do in your situation. Let's appreciate him that he has something in mind. Then the human person, say Philip, answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have only a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men. Remember, there were women also and also children. So the group was bigger than 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves. Then he gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." That means God is keen on stewardship, and God doesn't like waste. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Father in heaven, I pray that you would use me as your vessel to break this bread, the word of life. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would use it to inspire somebody to a new level. Thank you because of your goodness and love that in peacetime we can gather this way and partake of the word of the Lord. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We may have our seats. Uncommon overflow, 12 baskets of evidence. And I just read the text, John chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. And let me declare from the beginning that the overflow that God is bringing to your life shall leave a trail of evidence. Is somebody receiving that? This is a declaration. Let it be your testimony that the overflow coming from above shall leave evidence. And the overflow of John chapter 6, verse 1 to 14, and I just read the story, is one that best illustrates this. It was a real story. And it's an overflow story that leaves a trail of evidence. I want to say that God will come through for you in such a way that your overflow will be felt for generations. That's my prayer, and I pray that this is your prayer, that your overflow will not just be a flash in the pan, but it is happening in your generation. This overflow shall be felt for generations to come. I am very clear in my mind that God created everyone for impact, and not just local village impact, but also global impact. When this boy came with his lunch to this meeting, she had no idea. She had no idea what was about to happen in his life and what God was going to do in his life. Our God is a God of surprises. And I say to somebody here, you have no idea what God is about to do this coming week in your life. If you believe it, give a hand to the Lord. No idea. Yes. But in the mind of God, it is clear like day what he will do. And therefore, if you came here discouraged or downcast or giving up, listen to this preacher saying, God has something in mind. And God has something really special in mind for you. You have no idea. And this coming week, if you allow by faith, it shall be your week when God actually comes through for you in a way you have never, never, never imagined. Because in God's mind, like the Bible says, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither our ways, his ways. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are his thoughts above our thoughts, and his ways above our ways. And so it's an ordinary day. There is a big crowd. People are milling all over. They are also listening. And suddenly there is a moment of need. God knows what he is going to do. And so I am praying that God makes us people who walk in that overflow that leaves a trail of evidence, just like it happened in the case of Abraham and Sarah. And you know, in Genesis 12, verse 1 to verse 5, God visits this couple. And then after that, they abandon everything. Kumbe, God becomes their portion. They leave what they have. And some people clutch onto things, like this boy could have clutched on his lunch. Some people clutch onto things, but because of clutching onto things, they miss out the better thing that God has in store for them. Abraham and Sarah were a surrendered couple. God came, he spoke. Verse 1, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Now listen to the words of generosity. Divine generosity, words of abundance, words of overflow. I will make you, and this is what God wants to do with every one of us. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is amazing. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abraham was 75. It's never late. 75 years of age. It's never too early. It's never too late. This is Abraham and his family when he set out from Haran. And then finally, that verse 5, just give me verse 5 as well. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions he had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan and they arrived. I thank God they set out and they arrived. Let me prophesy in somebody's life. You will set out and you shall arrive. Deacon Joe, you mentioned people who are traveling. Yes, but the various formats of journeys of life, whichever journey that is, those trajectories are now guaranteed by God in Jesus' name. You shall start and you shall finish. Philippians 1:6 says, he who begins a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the nature of God. And common overflow, 12 baskets of evidence. There shall be 12 baskets of evidence because of the miracle the Lord will do in your life. Number one, the seed of uncommon overflow. And this is the trigger of overflow. There is a seed, the seed dynamic or the seed dimension of overflow. Overflow starts somewhere. Overflow starts from a seed. And sometimes seeds look very small. They look very insignificant. But wired inside a seed is a dynamic and DNA of increase. And that is by God's design. I want to believe that everyone here is a seed. The ideas you carry, the time you have in your hands, the education, the platforms that you enjoy and where you serve from. This is the seed. Today, we are at an altar. Just like that boy came to Jesus, we are coming to him. The world is globally in need and there are solutions to be provided. And I want to believe that at this altar, God is raising an army. And this army shall go through these doors. And out there, they shall provide amazing, amazing solutions. Let me just read verse 5 to 9 of John chapter 6. Verse 5 to 9. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people? That's a problem statement to eat. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. God will match that with a solution. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each to just have a bite. Another of the disciples, now there's a conversation among men. Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up. He said, and this one looks a little bit an improvement of the former. He says, here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many? And so, sometimes we despise the seed, but I want us to remember that inside seed, whether it's a maize seed or a bean seed or any seed, inside seed, there is something God has put in there. There is a dynamic of increase and there is a dynamic of overflow, but that seed needs to be planted. You know, the seed of uncommon overflow, this trigger is like a gun. The bullet is inside, but you need to press the trigger for the bullet to actually come out. Inside the seed is what is needed to provide this solution. And the seed, as when we come to this boy, looks very, very small. Small. Five small barley loaves, two small fish, a small boy. So you have a small boy, small bread, small fish right in his hands. Now, oftentimes, and of course we know boys, if somebody turns up and says, okay, I need that lunch of yours, how they would easily clutch onto it as they mingle out there in the crowd, and how easily they would disappear from your sight. But let's give credit where it's due. I think the star in this passage is the boy. He doesn't run away, you know, he doesn't run away. And it's clear that his lunch is in focus, is being discussed. The boy just stays there. And let me say this. Everyone is gifted. We despise gifts, but everyone is gifted. Every person created by God has a gift. Some we say maybe small, others big gifts. But everyone here, everyone upstairs is gifted. Everyone in Africa is gifted. And there is a boy there, fairly despised. Philip has made a commentary. Andrew has made a commentary. The atmosphere has been injected with doubt. But there is a boy who is right in that setting, and all he has is lunch. Five barley loaves small and two small fish. And then, of course, he's also small. And of course, the fish is probably omena. I have never developed a tongue for omena. I find it bitter. I feel like it tastes like penicillin or something, like a painkiller. So I struggle with omena. And to compound the problem, the fact that they never close their eyes. So you're constantly looking at these little creatures who have their eyes open and gazing, you know, at you, and never adjusted to omena. But I'm imagining that this is omena. Omena, it is very, very small. Let me say to somebody here in this service and also following online, you have a gift. Don't despise it. In Zechariah 4:10, of course, the prophet speaks to Zechariah and says, don't despise the year of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Don't despise those small beginnings. You may have come from a background that can only be described as small. And you say that my breed has come from an insignificant place. It is really small. And I don't think I can offer anything to the world. I think my life is just lost there. I'm waiting for death. I don't think I can make a difference. I say, it's never too early. It's never too late. Jesus is showing up. Something significant will happen. And that's why I say, next week is your big week in Jesus' name. God is coming through. And you're looking and measuring. Hallelujah. Yes, give a hand to the Lord. You're looking. Yes. And measuring with earthly measurements. And you are saying, like Philip, like Andrew, like many others who are doing the conversation, looking at this problem, what we have here will go nowhere. In 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 2, what does the Bible say? 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 4, one little jar of olive oil makes a difference. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said. She's even saying nothing, nothing small, nothing, nothing at all, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it on one side." She left him. Yeah, she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. Hallelujah. When all the jars were full, this is a nice ending here, the crescendo of the text. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." The oil stopped flowing. It stopped flowing because they weren't able to handle the overflow. They didn't have enough jars. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." May I speak and say God is coming through this coming week. You may be in a financial ditch. God will lift you up, I declare, from that financial ditch in Jesus' name. It will not depend on the Kenyan economy. It's going to depend on the living God. Let's give a hand to him. The living God. The living God. Don't despise your gift. It is the one God is going to use to make the difference. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 49, God uses the stone of David. It's a very small stone coming from David's sling, you know? And he took out the stone. He slung it, struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead. And he fell face down on the ground. Problem solved. A young man of 17 years old, with a sling and a stone, solving a national problem, and uses a stone. Goliath comes down. Gideon thought he could do nothing. And in Judges chapter 6, in his own self-estimate, from verse 11, Judges chapter 6, from verse 11, when God comes to begin to converse with him, Gideon thinks, maybe, you know, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, verse 11, yes. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, that belonged to Joash the Abizarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Now he's saying, "Mighty warrior?" Gideon doesn't feel that way. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have, what you have in your hands. Go in the strength of what is in your hands and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all those Midianites, living and alive." I'm speaking to somebody here. You've had a project you want to do, maybe a home. It's all in your dream. But be practical now, in Jesus' name. With the little that you have, begin to do something. Am I talking to somebody? With the little that you have, that piece of land, go start digging the trenches of the foundation, or start with the drawings, yes, and then come by faith. This coming week, God is coming through. Hallelujah. God is coming through for somebody. It doesn't matter the size of the gift. That doesn't hinder the overflow of God. Begin to do something. Because as you believe, God acts. According to your faith, you shall actually receive. And Gideon feels insignificant. We have another guy called Mephibosheth who just would feel so small in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And overflow is about to come in his direction. David, the king, is talking to him, but he's saying, I am like a dead dog. In other words, what you're saying and how I'm feeling, they are not congruent. It's not aligning. But I thank God. There's a small boy, small bread, small fish. Seed your overflow. Seed your overflow. It's calling the seeding of the overflow. And it just needs a little seed. God has wired the miracle inside there. And you seed your miracle. Just as you are, your time, your life, your resources, your connections, you seed your miracle with what you have, where you are right now, your location. Don't despise it, because that's what God is asking for. As we go to the second point, the hand of uncommon overflow. In John chapter 6, verse 10 and verse 11, the second point is the hand of uncommon overflow. In John chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, Jesus said, have the people sit down. Because he has seen this little lunch, so despised. Now he's talking. Have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. Many people, of course, about 5,000 men. Then Jesus then took the loaves. This is the hand of uncommon overflow. He took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who are seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. God can use anything, even the smallest item, to change the world. And so, what is the key? Surrender. Jesus, in another place, said, unless the seed falls to the ground and it dies, it remains alone. But if the seed falls to the ground and then dies, it produces bounty. Inside a single seed, for example, maize seed, are many seeds. So when you plant it, the first harvest, you probably get 300 seeds. The second harvest, if you plant the 300 seeds, you'll get 300 times 300. But that is 300 times 300 is what? 9,000? Is that 300 times 300? 9 and 4 zeros, eh? Yeah, 90,000. But if you're going to the third planting there, you're going to have a major, major, major thing. Now, it matters the soil where you plant. The boy with a small boy, small fish, small bread, puts his gift in the right place. Gifted people all over Africa, there are many who have put their gifts in the wrong places. God has given you a singing gift. You've put it in the wrong place. God has given you another kind of gift. Like now, running, athletics. Kenyans are very gifted in terms of athletics. In fact, when we travel around the world, they imagine every Kenyan can run. And of course, you don't apologize. You say, yes, I'm a very good runner. I can win anytime. Anytime. Wake up in the morning, go run, and I win. The other day, when I was in Chicago, there was a marathon there, and Kenyans won. In fact, there was a record broken there. And I was a very proud person. Yes, I said, I am a Kenyan also. Those same legs, the same DNA is in these legs. And you know, some of our people right now in Japan, yeah, Tokyo, Japan, have won. Yeah, Faith Kibiegon, and we have Beatrice Chebe. We have Wanyonyi, the guy who did 800. And we have others who have scored gold. I'm just asking myself, where are the men? Eh? Because the ladies have brought us gold. Let's appreciate all the women. We really want to thank God. Yes. I'm an athletic fan, so I watch, I follow. And it's very joyful when you see somebody exercising their seed, their gift, at the global arena. And there are so many people watching on the screens. Millions and millions are watching on the screens. And then they come through and they win gold. You know, like Wanyonyi, I just felt like he was almost not winning. And I was even pushing myself. Can you imagine as I was watching? And even praying and saying, it's like when people are playing soccer and your team is there, and then you also kick, you know. But I pushed with Wanyonyi. Because of our two guys here, Konza, there's one who came so fast, almost overtaking the last minute. But thank God, he finally broke the tape there and he got the gold. Why don't you appreciate our young people? Yeah, our young people who are making it big around in the capitals of the world. And people tend to give their gift in the wrong place. The devil is not a good lord over gifts. And gifted people end up going the wrong direction and they waste themselves and destroy themselves. I want to say this. The best place to place your gift is in the hands of Jesus. There is no better place. When you look at that cross there, and the other cross there, the wooden crosses, and there's another one as you exit there, you can see the hands of Jesus on those crosses there. And you know, those hands are reaching out, but those hands are also inviting. You know, they are reaching out to every man and every woman on planet Earth, globally, every nation. Jesus reaching out, but at the same time, reaching out to the gifts and talents that are there in the people of God and ready to receive. This life you see here, I really never thought I could ever become something. Deacon Joe and Pastor Regan, never thought. I have told you before that I grew up in the slums of Nairobi, Korogosho, to be particular. But anyway, we started in Kibagare. Yeah, this Kibagare here, then the Kajo came, broke things. We shifted now to Korogosho. And you know, with my mom and the large family, you are in that kind of world. I kept wondering, can anything ever come out of this family of ours? Can anything ever come out of this particular life? Eventually, I gave my life to Jesus, just shy of 17 years old. And even then, I did not see where this was headed. But all I knew is that I gave my life and my all to him. Everything that is me, I placed it there. My environment did not speak greatness. My own personal life was not a big person with connections. But what I did, I simply placed my life on the hands of him who is able to really navigate overflow. I placed my life on his hands. The rest is history because I am standing here. Hallelujah. I am here. The rest is history. The rest is history. How God has done it, he had it in mind. What he's waiting for is surrender, is somebody to bring their gift and place it right there in the hands of Jesus, not the wrong hands. I could easily have ended up in the wrong hands. And as a young guy, remember, umekuwa shauri, si unakumbuka shauri, na mambo ya bama huko, Jogoro Road, and hizo magangs. You know, as a young person, and Regan, you know, plus others, those sides of Eastlands and that journey. Even Pastor Ambrose was in Eastlands. Ni vile tu watu kutana, those days, you know. Akiwa Jericho, So, there were all these inviting groups. Come join us, come join us. Of course, as a young person, I joined one, and we harassed people. You know the story I normally give. And we used to meet at Central Park, organize ourselves, go up towards Valley Road, that particular area. And we used to have fairs. Fairs are catapults. Yeah, tulikuwa na fair. And then we had these seeds. We used to opwatch people. Yani tunawa opwatch. Unaweka seed ndani, una opwatch mtu. By the time I realized kwa kumu opwatch ni kumgonga, amekuwa confused kidogo. Mnamvamia. Yani you just come around the person, pick up everything, and you disappear. Afterwards, we gather in Central Park, which is next to Uhuru Park. And we would share the spoil just behind Serena. We share the spoils right there and find our way the other way. But Jesus got me. Hallelujah. He got me. And I realized I needed to put my life in better hands. You know, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you might do what? Might have life and have it abundantly. Let's appreciate. That's a powerful verse right there. That's why Jesus came. I allowed myself to receive Christ. I was discipled and encouraged by many others, and I thank God for all the people who have impacted my life, including this church. Yeah, Ambassador Mubea, this congregation has discipled me. Your presence, each one of you, has been part of the nurture process and working out what God is able to work out. But the critical issue is surrender. Simply lay your gift in the hands of Jesus, and He will bless it. That's a key word. And He will bless it, like He did for Abraham. And Abraham prospered. God wants to bless you. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse chapter 28 verse 12 says the following. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12 says the following. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. The outcome, you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. And so you can see the dynamic of overflow here. So I want us to read together the last part after the full stop, starting with you. Why don't we read that one together? You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Make it first person. Make it a personal confession. I will lend to many nations, but I will borrow from none. Say it with conviction now. I will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Let's give a hand to the Lord. It's a confession, it's a declaration. And this boy out of the little lunch is about to get feedback from his own lunch. And even him, he will partake of the plenty. And, you know, he will walk home with something. So we thank God for this hand of uncommon overflow. Let me say, the hand of God is present in history. The hand of God is present during the day. And the hand of God is present during the night. The hand of God, especially midnight, where you think or I feel sometimes God is not working. That time when you are rolling on your bed and wondering how will things work out. I want to say God's hand is as dynamic, is as vital, is as living as it was then. And it's going to be the same tomorrow. And so when I say that this coming week is going to be great for us, it is because I'm a firm believer of the mighty, powerful hand of God, the hand of uncommon overflow. And that hand is at work. John 5, verse 17, the Father is working. Jesus said, and I am working. John chapter 5, verse 17. Can you imagine where you have the Father working, is at work, and also the Son is at work. And what work are they doing? None other except concerning you. This work has man at the center. So God is working out your healing. If you're there in a hospital bed, you're not feeling well, the work of healing through the cross is done. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. In fact, I hasten to declare you healed right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Even my finger is healed. You know this finger here? I was repairing the water pump Saturday night. Little did I know it got pricked, and even before this service, it was pumping, very painful, you know, Pastor Regan. So I had to get somebody from care center, Daktari. Just before this service, I've been injected here. I don't like injections, but I've been injected a painkiller because this finger, after the first service, was just pumping, 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 and it was very painful. I didn't know that I would make it through this service, but one of our members here, in the care center, thank God for people like that, came with a needle, injected me here. And right now I can flex it. I can hold the microphone. It is, the Lord is just amazing. And so I decree that healing, that restoration, because that's what God is doing day and night, fixing things up there in a way I don't understand. And He actually does it day and night. He does it for everyone. God doesn't have like favorites, this one, the other one. No, He's doing this work day and night for everyone. And I want everyone to know today, you are blessed more than you know. You are blessed beyond a curse. And the blessing of God is over your life. In the book of Luke, the last chapter 24, verse 50, the last act of Jesus was to bless His people. And that's why even in the church, We bless people. At the end of the service, what do? The final act is to lift hands and bless God's people. Why? Because Jesus himself, his final act, when he was going up, what did he do? He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And I want everyone to know, listening to me, you are blessed through and through. And you are blessed beyond a curse. Let's give a hand to the Lord. Glory to his name. But finally, of course, the evidence of uncommon overflow. This is the testimony bit. And in verse 12 to verse 14, when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Now, this is the evidence, this is the testimony, and I say it, the testimony of your overflow will be obvious, it will be clear, it shall be felt for generations. Let me repeat what I said at the beginning. Your overflow shall not be a flash in the pan, something that happens within just one generation. Your overflow shall be felt for generations. Please connect with it. For generations. And therefore, you will have what you will have. You will leave an inheritance, I declare, for your children. And your children shall also leave an inheritance for their children. And there shall be heritage, what is called kingdom wealth. There shall be heritage that shall fill the current generation and satisfy them, but also be passed on to the next generation and to the next generation. I am praying that God blesses you in such a way that you shall have something extra, that you shall have more than enough. I remember my grandmother time, how we would visit, and I think the story was very nice those days. They used to have granaries, and these granaries would be outside the house. You arrive, you can access. Do you know all the time they would have, Fura, you might not know this, and Linda, I'm now teaching you something from history, Africa's journey. They would have fermented porridge. Is it called fermented porridge? In my language, they call it what? Mokio or something. Yeah, uji. Uji le inakuwa ni kama iko spoiled. Lakini siyo spoiled. Beautiful. Yeah. So it would be there in goods. And there would be bananas that are ripe, getting ripe. And there would also be mokimo in those African, what do you call? Itairos. I don't know what they are called. Yeah, they are like pans. Yes, kiteo, kipepeo, or kiteo. They would be there. And you would just enter there, you arrive, unajitotea, unakula. By the time you enter and talk to your grandmother, you are already okay. There was overflow. And you'd find one generation passing something to another, including land and including many other things. But now we are having shunted overflow. It is just for one season, one generation. The next generation is struggling. There is absolutely nothing. As they are coming to the table, they have no head start. But this is what God wants to do. Bless you with that kind of overflow that will serve your generation and serve the next generation and serve the next generation. It is called the Abrahamic overflow. It's also called the covenant overflow. And the people of God, therefore, the Lord has ordained and designed them to carry overflow that blesses generations. So as we leave here today, I want you to believe that there is evidence. And there were 12 baskets. Of course, in Joshua chapter 4, from verse 1 to 9, when they crossed over the river Jordan, they were asked to carry 12 stones so that there can be a witness and a testimony for generations that God visited them and God made a way where there was no way. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from the right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder. So it's quite something, you know, according to the number of the tribes of Israelites. Tell them that to serve as a sign. This is the key. This testimony of a generational overflow. To serve as a sign among you in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. And finally, of course, Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Can you imagine? So your overflow shall be there to that day. It shall not just be this season, but it shall be for a long time. May generational wealth come in your direction. May generational increase come in your direction. May the overflow that serves generations be released to you. God is saying, I am going to do it. And so the lunch of a boy, small loaves, small fish, placed in the hands of Jesus, suddenly serve globally. Serve a small epicenter. From a small epicenter, it goes all direction, 360. Yani, the bread is being served this way, that way, that way, the other way. And the whole thing has actually started with something very small. And so let me say, don't despise yourself. Don't despise what you have, the location where you are right now. If you surrender yourself and surrender your everything to the Lord Jesus, what he's saying today is that I'm able to pick even that which people have despised. They have said, what is this? Can it make a difference? For a long time, your family has been despised. God is able to pick it as you listen to me and you're praying in your heart and you're saying that someone is for me. And I am praying that even where I am and what I have and who I am, that the Lord turns it into the kind of overflow that leads to 12 baskets of evidence. God is able to do it. There is nothing insignificant when God is involved. There is no small gift as far as God is concerned. God wants to visit every family, every home, even the ones at the back of the queue. God wants to visit them. And God will visit them with everything he has, including salvation and healing, like I said, and deliverance. Those things are not just for they are not people of a lesser God. Those things are not just for a group of preferred or favored people. The Israelites thought that way for quite some time. But then the Apostle Paul came and he said, I am a minister to the Gentiles, and the Spirit of God has rested on me. This overflow of salvation and grace in your community must flow north, south, east, west, every side, and reach everywhere. Japanese, the Russians, the Chinese, the Australians, you know, the Germans, and we had Germans this morning, and the Canadians, the Americans, the Brazilians, the Peruans, all these people, New Zealanders, around the world, that gift you are carrying was meant for them. And when you surrender it to Jesus, then God uses you. He makes use of that gift. And so when I surrendered my life to Jesus, I put my life in the hands of Jesus. He started using me for his glory, starting from that anonymous place, you know, a place of shame, as a place of poverty, and starting from there, becoming a street preacher in Nairobi here. And God has used this gift, that which was so small and was being passed by people, It has been used, by the way, in many countries around the world. Kama vile Pastor Ambrose asema, Mungu ni nani? Yeah? Why don't you give him a hand? There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. And because of knowing this God, you can never shake me from there. The convictions are so deep because they have come from very far. They've come from very far. And God is saying, place your life in the hand that will lead you to the overflow that leaves evidence. And that hand is the hand of Jesus. Now, I want us to, as we close, just where you're seated, to make some prophetic prayers. And I encourage you to pray with me, those in the pavilion and also here and those online. Let's just pray after me. This is a prayer of surrender. We say, Father, today I place all that I am and all that I have in your hands. Take my life, take my weakness, take my offering and turn it into uncommon overflow. I refuse to withhold what belongs to you. Another prayer, the prayer of multiplication. Say, Lord Jesus, just as you blessed the loaves and fish, you can put your hands in front of you. Bless the work of my hands. Multiply my resources, my opportunities, my giftings, my anointing. Let there be supernatural increase wherever I labor. God is able. God is able. The final prayer here. Say, Father, may my life, my family, my ministry, and generations from me carry baskets full of testimonies, evidence of overflow. Let my overflow not only just satisfy me, but feed nations. Lord, glorify your name. Now open the heavens and let the rivers flow. I will be a channel of blessing to the ends of the earth. This prayer, I deposit it in your vault. May this prayer now shape my destiny. From today, I will walk in uncommon overflow. 12 baskets of evidence shall surround me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and we all say, amen. Let's give a hand to the Lord. Glory, glory to his name. He is wonderful. Let's all stand up now. We all stand up. Part of the benediction today is actually declarations. And while we are standing, let us do these declarations together. I declare, we can say, my little shall become much in the hands of Jesus. I declare, I will not lack. I will walk in an uncommon overflow. I declare multiplication and expansion over my life and my assignment. I declare my cup shall overflow and my testimony shall remain undeniable for generations. I declare 12 baskets of evidence shall follow me in every season. I declare that uncommon overflow is my portion in Jesus' name. My overflow will feed generations and leave a testimony behind. I shall be head and not tail. I shall be top and never bottom. I will lend to many nations and borrow from none. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, it is sealed. Let's give another hand to Jesus. It is sealed. We can lift our hands to God. You are blessed on Monday, blessed on Tuesday, blessed on Wednesday, blessed on Thursday. You are blessed on Friday, blessed on Saturday, blessed on Sunday, in such a way that you are coming back next Sunday with a testimony of 12 baskets overflow, whose evidence is those 12 baskets. In Jesus' name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Shalom.